Welcome to the Live Awakened podcast, life coaching for women physicians of color. Create more freedom to simply be who you want to be. Do the things that make you feel alive and create a deeper connection with those you love. It's time to choose you. I'm your host, Dr. Payal Patel Guile.
Hello, ladies. Hope you're having a lovely day. So we're going to continue our theme for the month of May. If you're listening in May, it is Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month. And this month, I wanted to talk about healing. And actually, a good friend of mine suggested this topic. And I thought to myself, well, how perfect to do it this month, because I have been through a lot of healing for myself, and a good portion of it had to do with generational trauma surrounding culture and traditions and all the things. And today I have a special guest on. She's a friend of mine. And we actually are, I'm going to say the term I use is hilarious. Well, we learned it from our coach, is Froach. She's a friend coach. She is a clinical social, say it again, Jess.
Licensed clinical social worker.
Licensed clinical social worker. I knew I was going to mess up. And she's a vet, right?
Veteran, not a veterinarian.
Veteran. So as you guys can see, I don't like over prepare for these things because I want us to be like really natural and just kind of share all the things. So she and I are, you know, we work with the same coach, and I had told them like, this was my idea of what I want to do this month. And suddenly I was like, oh my God, Jess is like so good at this topic. She knows so much about this stuff. So I was like, can you come on my podcast? And she's like, sure, no problem. So I'm going to let her introduce herself, even if I totally screwed up her intro, but that's all good because guess what? That's human to mess up. So go ahead, Jess.
Right. Well, first of all, I'm going to go ahead and give myself credit for this. I was the one that started saying Froach.
So that's true. It was you. And then Melissa said it after that. Yes.
That's friend coach. So now I think enough people have like tagged me or like commented on that, that I'm making this a thing, this word. So I'm a therapist turned coach, licensed clinical social worker. And now I combine mindset coaching with something called emotional freedom techniques, otherwise known as tapping, which is an energy modality that really helps you be able to calm the central nervous system while thinking about thoughts that might distress you or bringing up emotions that you would otherwise wish you didn't feel because of being human. And that really brings up a lot with generational trauma, because so much of what we feel, how we think, are things that we didn't really get to make conscious decisions about because we were taught them from a very, very young age.
That is so true. It just, we don't talk about it enough, but the conditioning that happens subconsciously for like our entire childhood, like we just accept it to be the norm. And then like, then we're like adults and like making choices and decisions, not knowing that it's the foundation is from this conditioning. Right. And so this is something that I've talked to Jess about, but it's like, then we like go into careers and relationships and we're carrying all this stuff with us. And it almost feels like I felt this, like a shamefulness of like, oh my God, like you have been like making this okay for so long. So even that was unlearning. So any comments on that, Jess?
Yeah. Well, I think that when we can really embody the knowing or the belief of that, that these decisions that we made, we quite often made about ourselves and where we fit in the world, were made between like the ages of 0 and 6 years old. And so I think that number one, when that feeling of shame comes up, being able to remind yourself, like, I really didn't have any control over this. And the things that we make decisions about, or we made those decisions about between at such a young age, the reason why it can be so confusing as grownups is it, you know, we weren't consciously making a decision like I have to be a doctor and please my parents every single day, right? It was ingrained so much and now it looks a little different. And so it might not have anything to do with what you're doing in your life and your profession or how you feel about your parents, but maybe you have a really hard time ever saying no to somebody. I also think that is important to talk about not only challenging maybe the decisions that you feel you made that are not aligned with who you are now, but even sometimes thinking about those that maybe they're not getting in your way just yet. Because sometimes we fall into this default of only looking at the things we think we need to change, or the things that make us uncomfortable, when sometimes the things that we believe about the world that might feel good to you right now are also limiting you, because it they can create kind of this settling. Oh, this is good enough, because we don't know any better to challenge, like it could be even better. And I often see that feeling of shame come up when people are like, no, but this is really good right now. I have to be grateful for this. I am not allowed to want.
Oh my God. Like this whole like gratitude BS thing, like it's a real thing, right? Like, especially, and this is what I'm going to speak for my community and stuff. It's like, just be happy that you're living in this country and you have this education and you have these opportunities. And then we have the other, especially as a girl, right? Yeah. Like that's the other part that I'm like, and I'm generalizing here, right? But like, this is something I hear a lot of too, right? It's like, we should just be grateful. And like, professionally speaking, like, you know, like all of my friends have like master's degrees, right? Like they're graduates and things like that, right? And it's like, well, the generations before you didn't have these opportunities. Like, lucky for you that you get to have this career, you get to have these opportunities, which provides like wealth for your families. But we don't ever talk about the cost.
And what pressure.
Yes.
Said, right? I didn't have this. Other people didn't have this. Therefore, you must carry the weight of everybody who came before you. When do you have time to make decisions about what you want or what really feels good to you, or even have the time to figure out what that even means?
I don't even think, like, this is, I'll be honest, for me, it's like, I didn't even know that this was like possible, right? Mm-hmm. Because you're just like programmed, you know, into this way of thinking. And so like, I'm going to give you the simplest example that I feel like I hear all the time and happens in my house a lot. It's like, finish your food because other people don't have food. And I've heard myself say that in the past. And I'm like, how does that make sense to that kid? You know, he's like, he's not there seeing everyone, like the third world children, like not having that. And so like, I had to check myself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But how powerful is that we are aware that one can check themselves?
Yes, totally. I think that just an amazing example, right? When you just said that for me, and you didn't know me, you might not even know this about me, but I used to be 50 pounds heavier than I am now. Now I'm, you know, considered average. I'm 5'5", I'm 135 for those who don't know what I look like. And a lot of that came from, like, I've always been a finisher of food because of that. I have to finish what is in front of me because other people are going without.
Yeah.
I do want to say, like, I think gratitude is super important, right? As I say this word, which is the word I'm going to tell everybody not to use anymore, but it gets to be both, right? When we can choose, like, to switch our butts to and, mm-hmm. I can gratitude and also want more. I can feel gratitude for all of this and also not want parts of this because it's not my fault or responsibility to do things for previous members of the family just because they didn't get a chance to do so. And it is not what I want.
What a relief, right? Like to not have that pressure. I think I told you this, that I am the first one to graduate college in my family. And so like, yeah, obviously first one to become a physician, right? But there was so much pressure that no one really had to say anything to me about. Like, I'm the firstborn female. So there you go, ding, ding, ding. Like, that's like a setup, right? But like, firstborn female, first generation immigrant, right? And I put so much pressure on myself to be like, oh, you got to be a doctor, you got to be a doctor, got to be a doctor. And I know my parents were like, oh, this is a good profession because there's job stability. Obviously, COVID happened. We know that's not true. So, but like I had that in my head, but the amount of pressure I put on myself, like going through all the training, like I remember like crying because I got a C on my AP Calc test, not the AP test, just a random test that we took. I was hysterical crying. And I'm like, really? Like, I don't practice calculus right now. Like, this is nuts, right? But I made that mean that I wouldn't be able to live up to these expectations. Mm-hmm. That definitely, I think, was something I was like, I don't want my kids to experience that. And also, I could want different from myself right now without it being about the next generation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I just did a podcast interview and we were talking about like generational trauma and to a psychiatrist, and we were saying a lot of people come to work with us because they don't want to continue this legacy. But like, what I said was like, I want like my community, I want women to not have to even make that the reason that we work on generational trauma and that we make it for right here, right now. You know, your lifetime, what you have left. And I think that this has been such an important shift for me to be like, oh, I could want that.
Yes, totally. And knowing that it starts with, like you said, like knowing that that's a possibility to be able to choose what you want to believe or think about yourself right now. And knowing that to feel that like pressure and put that pressure on yourself, like does step one of that, because that pressure doesn't go away overnight, right? As you know, it's learning to manage it and learning to be able to sit with what you're feeling inside your body and question, like, is this mine? Is this pressure that I'm putting on me? Or is this pressure that somebody else is putting me on me? The pressure of somebody else's expectations, and where are my expectations in this? And so I think it's always important to be able to focus less on like the eradication of that pressure and put the focus more on like, how do I get to know this and what information does it have for me today?
I think what we don't want to do is actually pause and check in and ask ourselves those questions, which is what I have done for a very long time. And so this is, I laugh about this a lot, but I'm always like, how do we fix it? Right. I'm like, doctors love to fix things. Like people love to fix things. Right. So I'm like, how do we fix it? Assessment plan. Right. And the reality is like your belief is what creates your emotional experience and then the results in your life. Right. And so like, it's such an interesting shift, you know, that you can do all the things, but if you're still believing what you're believing, you're going to experience that pressure. And pressure can look different, right? Like I think, so Jess has coached me and we've done some tapping. And I'll tell you that the feelings that probably are the ones that I struggle with most are like anxiety and worry.
Mm-hmm.
That all goes hand in hand with pressure, right? And it's been so normalized, like subconsciously, at least for me, like what I've seen, like the women in my life do. It's like, they're always like, oh, I'm so worried you're not eating. Or I'm so like, I'm feeling so anxious about this. And it's like, I'm like, wow, they never said that, but I just saw them constantly being that way. So I thought I should also be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessary.
And we don't have to express, when we express love by telling people that we are worried about them or anxious about them, that then is putting the responsibility, especially if you're a kid hearing this, the responsibility then becomes that kid learns, like, I have to do something to manage mom's worry about me, mom's anxiety or fear.
So many women are nodding their head right now, Jess, because I can tell you that I have felt that way. Like that I was carrying that burden of the emotions of my parents, in particular my mom, you know, and I have a lot of clients who come to me because of that feeling of I have to be different and do different so that my mom can feel different.
Yes.
Obviously, now I know, understand that you can't make anyone feel anything. You know, it's you're just being you and doing you, and they have thoughts about that, and that creates their experience. But this is what we teach everyone, like, you made me feel.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that is always important to give ourselves ownership. That is, I talk a lot about empowerment over positivity, because a lot of times, especially as adults, when something bad happens to us and we've, you know, been taught like you have it better, you then, you know, are your ancestors had, so you're not allowed to feel like this, then we start feeling badly about that, right? And knowing that your belief comes from your emotional experience. And it's like, as you said, knowing when we try to force ourselves to believe something like right away that we don't, like, oh, I wanna, this thing is happening to me, I wanna change how I think about it, so I'm gonna think the most positive thing right now. We're often just, that's where that feeling of shame comes in. And when we can get curious about where that came from or where we might have learned that, because the thing is it takes practice to come up with a new belief, right? I'm sure your audience has heard you say this before, a belief is a thought that we practice. And our emotions, especially those ones that persist in coming up for us, those are the ones we want to pay attention to and remembering, like, this is something we learned early on. And you know about this about me, I'm so big on offering ourselves compassion, right? Because when we can just take a pause there and quietly, like, communicate with yourself, however that is. I'm a big, like, put my hand over my heart and just quietly send a thought and just say to that part of me that is experiencing that, hey, I'm listening. Instead of trying to force it to believe something it doesn't or I don't, because it takes time to believe those things. We don't ever have to go straight from, like, our personality being 100% or 80% anxious all the time to thinking that needs to get down to zero. Anxiety does hold secrets for us, right? That can help us be better at our lives when we can sit and pause and listen to what that anxiety has to tell us.
And I want to yeah. speak to, I bet some of you guys are listening and you're like, that is not what happens in a brown household, right? Like, and I'm just going to speak to that because it's almost like a foreign language, and that could be true for most people, but, like, specifically speaking, like, feeling our feelings, indulging in our emotions, there's so much shame around that, especially in, like, my culture. Like, I want to just, like, say it, because sometimes what happens is, like, if I dance around it, then everyone else dances around it. So, like, I love being the example, you know, for my community, and be like, no, like, yes, it has been normalized that we don't pay any attention to those things, because if you're paying attention, it's almost as if you're like watering that, you know, part. And it's not true. You know, the longer that we try to avoid and go around it, it keeps persisting and it keeps coming back. And then what I found and through this work is like, and what I do with my clients is like, we go through it. And the worst thing that you can feel is an emotion that's not going to kill you, right? And this toxic positivity thing, it doesn't work because it's not sustainable. And this is what I've kind of learned from you too, is like, yeah, maybe it can put a Band-Aid on the problem, but it's not a solution. And it's not a foundation that I would like to build, you know, like today, the next day, and the rest of my life on. And so like, I wanted to just say, guys, like, I get it if this is kind of foreign language to you, because we don't talk about this kind of stuff. And I know like you guys come here to like hear things that are like, oh yeah, like this is what other people wouldn't say. But I just want to say, yeah, I get it. In your family, this is how it's been. And you get to choose to live and feel differently today for yourself, and the added bonus of not passing on the generational trauma.
Yeah. And I actually think of it less about not passing on something, but, and more you get to teach something new, right? Because when we put our focus on like, I can't pass this thing on, A, that creates more pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And it we then like kind of focus even more on the negative, right?
It's interesting how Jess caught me on that. Can you guys notice that? I love that. We're just like, I love her so much. Because see, this is shows, guys, like that I'm still on this journey, right? And I'm learning. And what some of you guys are like, okay, like how, when will I learn this? How will I get there? You know, like how long will it take? And I'm like, it doesn't work like that. You know, it's like, do I just go to the gym one day and I'm good? No. You know, it's an ongoing process. And sometimes you think about doing cardio, and then sometimes weights, sometimes meditation, sometimes, you know, I'm giving an example that I think all of you guys can probably relate to, because everyone, you know, wellness is a big part of what we do. But thank you for saying that, because in real time, they get to see a real person, you know, like still believing, which is not a problem, you know, in the old ways, and being open and vulnerable to new things.
Yeah, we're not working on every single thought or belief at every moment of the day, right? We choose our goals, we do the best we can in them, and we make decisions when other things come up. I am an expert in emotions. I truly believe that about myself, but being an expert and I'm an expert in teaching other people and about their emotions and how to understand them, so they can think clearly. And I am an expert in managing my own emotions. And you'll notice that I am saying managing and understanding emotions, not eradicating or preventing or never having again. That's not part of the human experience. And I woke up this morning just on the wrong side of bed. Mm-hmm. And I have been experiencing sadness and irritability all morning. And I've also been able to sit with those things, acknowledge that they're there, do a little bit of my own work in just seeing what information is there for me today, while also still feeling this way, right? Like, so being able to manage our emotions isn't about like, or processing emotions, because this is another thing I hear people talking about, processing emotions. And I think that they think at the end of a process of processing emotions that they don't feel that emotion anymore. And that's not true. It's being able to sit with big emotions, small emotions, whatever, and not make them mean something about you, not make them mean that there's something shameful.
Yeah. When I was having a lot of anxiety and I went to Jess, and I didn't realize that I was making myself like wrong for having anxiety and not knowing how to get rid of it. And then I thought the way to go through it was to not have the anxiety. And it was so helpful, Jess, when you were like, oh no, it's not going anywhere. It's just there. You don't have to feel good about it. And as soon as she gave me permission to not have to feel good about it. I was like, oh, I get it. You know, it's like, okay, like you have like a dimple or some freckles or something like that, right? Like that's, it's just there. You don't have to love it.
Yes. And I do think, like, I don't want anybody to hear and think, like, especially particularly with chronic anxiety, there are things we can do to make chronic, unhelpful, unproductive anxiety, the type that stops you in your tracks and prohibits you from moving forward towards what you want in your life. There are ways to alleviate that and make it so that is no longer that daily process of your life. When I'm talking about, but what I often see people is just that they feel that sense of anxiety. And usually it's because something unfamiliar is coming up, or they're having, maybe they're confronting a family member on something that they learned. Like those things are going to feel uncomfortable. And you might have some anxiety about that. And that's the type of anxiety you can just really would be like, okay, give yourself permission to feel, of course, this is here. Like I feel uncomfortable in confronting some of these things and giving yourself permission to let that be there.
You know, because in that way, and this is the, I think the example I can use, it's like when I was going to speak on stage and I spoke, you know, at our Life Coach School Mastermind, it was like, I didn't know there was going to be 1500 people there. Number one. And number two, I was the first person who looked like me, period. Yeah. It was scary.
Yes.
And I was feeling anxious, right? But when I was feeling anxious, it's because I cared about this thing. So my body was just telling me that this is important.
Yes.
To me in that moment. But it wasn't a problem that was there, right? And it actually encouraged me to think about what I'm doing, like figure out, like calm myself down or whatever it is. Like I wasn't like, oh my God, but the anxiety that, and so I want to clarify, I'm happy she said that anxiety where it can be clinically treated. Yes. That's a completely different situation. My feeling anxious doesn't stop me from doing my daily activities, which I feel most of us, you know, who do feel anxious, we keep doing what we're doing, but it's this heaviness that bears on us, or we're spinning and kind of overthinking about stuff. Right. And so it's so helpful to be like, oh, okay. Like just because you're feeling anxious doesn't mean there's something wrong with you.
Yeah. And then once you're through that though, being able to then sit with, and what is this anxiety coming from today? I am a big believer in like, in words and knowing our words and knowing our values, and specificity is a huge value of mine, because a lot of times I hear people, you know, talking about, well, we'll just keep talking about anxiety since we came, you know, started on that. But, and they make it part of just like woven into the fabric of their lives. But when you're feeling that way, like asking in that moment, like what is this anxiety trying to tell me today, right now, in this moment? Where is this anxiety coming from? What, when I think about certain things, where does it feel more kind of intense? And then that gives you a place to like problem solve. Oh, it's about this talk I'm going to give. I wonder, like, what am I scared of that this feeling is coming up? And particularly, I'll stay with this example since you brought it up too. Like my experience of public speaking anxiety is so much different now. I used to be crippled just saying my name in front of a crowd. Like if I had to introduce myself and say like my name, what I did, where I was from, or anything like that, I would literally have to like write it down. My name is Jessica Johnson. So I could read this little script of, you know, anybody would think is so easy. And now that I know when I am getting up to speak in front of people, it, exactly like you just said, like, oh, of course, it's because I really care about this. And then I can make decisions about how I want to give myself compassion. And that just helps me to feel so much better getting up and going out and walking on stage in front of people and being able to slow down so I can articulate and pass on the information that I want people to know.
Yeah, and that's so important. And I think like, I just want to like clarify something. Let's like, because you work on yourself and you do this work, it doesn't mean that other people are going to change the way that they approach you. And so like going back to the generational trauma and the culture and family stuff, like they're all still going to continue to use the tools that they have. And you get to shift things for you and also realize that you don't need other people to go along with you on this path for you to have a different relationship with them, you know, because I was just thinking about this and I was just like, yeah, I can do this work. And I think a lot of the women that I work with, like, they're like, I'm doing this work, but so-and-so, like my mom's still the same. My, you know, my husband's still the same, right? They're going to be the same.
But I think what will change though, if you, when you start looking for those things, it just takes one person. And so when you decide to do this work and you decide to show up differently and you decide to take care of yourself by living according to your own values and what's in alignment for you and your own expectations and standing in that, it does get easier because people start, when you know, when you waver in something, that's when people kind of keep poking at you even more. But when you are standing in full confidence of, oh, this is who I am, other people will eventually start behaving differently around you because you are teaching them how to treat you.
Yes. And they get to decide if they still want to participate in this relationship with you, with the true version of you.
And so do you, right? Because you get decisions also in that, like, what is this? And the same is for family, right? Like a lot of times some of these metaphors or sayings that we grow up with, and I'll name some that I know, like I've heard, like, and you can maybe share some that are specific to you because I am a, you know, Irish white girl, like it's different, but like, you know, blood is thicker than water. You always have to stand by your family. Like that does not have to be true when your family is toxic and not respecting your boundaries and allowing you to do the things that you need to do to accomplish in your life.
Okay, here we go. Respect your parents.
Because
they gave you life. They sacrificed for you.
Yep. Yeah.
Like one of my like favorite ones. And then this other one, I think it's true and funny. And cause they use it in a lot of comedies, is like what people think matters.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you said that, Jess, I was like, I wonder if I'm going to know any. And then it's like, just came out, because just imagine how ingrained it is. And I know you guys are listening, nodding your heads while you're driving to work or doing your chores. Like, yes, pile, like that's one. I hear this all the time. Respect your parents. I'm saying in the tone that I would hear my parents kind of say it too. And it's like, I'm like, I'm doing this and showing up this way because I respect and love you, that I'm actually showing up as a real version of me.
Yes. And did you say respect your betas?
No, respect your parents. Like parents, but I just said it with that. Like that's what they say it. Guys, it's like one of those things where you can say that because it's your own people's. I love that. But like that's how my parents would say it. Like, and then the uncles and aunties, right? Like, you know, like it matters, you know, and especially this whole societal way of living, like the what other people think is a big deal, right? So that's another source of worry for a lot of people, is constantly thinking, what do they think? Right.
Yeah.
But it's this moving target that you're never gonna be able to. Okay, we talked about weight before, right? It's like, oh my God, you put on weight. Like, what's wrong? And then the same person could be like, all right, fine, I'm going to work out and lose weight. You look so skinny, you should eat more, right? And I'm like, what? Like, you're never going to be able to please anyone. So take it off your list.
Yeah, I mean, I think people are going to judge you for anyway, anything you ever do, there's going to be people that have positive, negative judgments about it. So you might as well do the thing that you want to do, so you're not one of those people, right? Because I think that the thing that we forget is when we're hearing those things, like, what are other people going to think? It's like, you get to put yourself in that too. And instead of seeing yourself as somebody that everybody is all around you having these thoughts about you, put yourself, just give yourself that reminder, like, what are my thoughts about me? Those are the most important thoughts to pay attention to.
Yeah, that does not come naturally to me. I'm just going to say that, you know, like that has been such a journey. And like, I'm so grateful to me for putting myself in places and around people and getting coached and like being open to that. You know, a lot of times I tell my clients, I'm like, I love working with you because you're so coachable. And I've heard that about myself. And Jess, if you've seen me like be like, all right, I'm raising my hand. Let's talk about all my stuff. Let's put it on the table. Because when you take everything and put it out on the table, it's no longer scary.
Sometimes.
Okay. So let me speak for myself. Like, I think it's like the more, especially for my experience, it's like I've been hiding things, especially people in my community. We hide a lot of like our fears and all those things, right? It's like, well, if I put it out and I am putting outside of me, it's no longer eating me up inside. And so like, that's what I feel like has been helpful for me to not like keep it all stashed inside and then like constantly think about it.
Yeah. Okay. So here's what, I'll explain why I said that, because there are some things that of course we're going to be scared of, and having it on the table doesn't, it might not make the fear go away, but we experience it differently. And the best scenario or example, do you mind if I give an example?
Yeah,
of this?
Please, please. Yeah.
I was doing a EFT, emotional freedoms techniques, or otherwise known as tapping session, with somebody once, and she was experiencing a lot of fear. She had a medical procedure coming up. She was somebody who had dealt with a chronic heart issue her entire life, and she could not understand like why she was going in for another procedure like a week from our meeting. And she was like, I am so petrified and distracted. I can't handle this. I can't think straight. All I keep thinking is, oh my God, I have another week to go of this until I feel better, because that appointment will be done. And A, she was terrified. B, she was judging herself for being terrified, because she's like, I've had so many of these appointments. And so by the end of that session, she realized that the reason why so much fear had come up for this one is because this is the first time that one of the risk factors in the procedure she was going to have was death. And so of course that was very different. And so by the end of that session, she still was like, oh yeah, I have fear. I'm definitely still scared of this appointment, but of course I am. Mm-hmm. I'm ready. I think this procedure is a week away. And you know, they told me one of the risk factors is death. And so she just gave herself permission in that moment. And she had full clarity of exactly what she was scared of. And that helped her feel better. So that's what I mean when I say, like, we can put it out on the table and yeah, still have fear. But A, it's a hell of a lot less when we know what we're dealing with. And then
it's the uncertainty that creates, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if she didn't come to you, and this is what I kind of find like has been helpful for me, and what I was referring to is like, it would have been all in her own head and she'd been trying to deal with it on her own. But thank God she gave herself permission and opportunity to work with you, right? And so like, that's what I tell like my clients. I'm like, it takes a lot of courage, you know, to reach out, to ask for help, to like say that you are experiencing this. And if we're alone in this suffering, then it just gets magnified because we don't have any kind of like clarity, which is what you were saying, right? Around it. Yeah. I love where we are right now, because I would like for you to tell us how people who you could work with and like how they can reach out to you. And I'll put all the information in the show notes.
Yeah. First thing I just wanted to say, because it is also Mental Health Awareness Month, and just something that you had mentioned before with like our emotions aren't going to kill us. And I, sometimes that's not true, right? That is why we have like the another pandemic that we have going on in not just the US, because suicide rates are up all around the world, is suicide. And that is because while maybe emotions don't look like, you know, a stabbing or something like that, is our inability to deal with and communicate them and sit with them that creates illness, that creates burnout, that creates stress, that creates, gives us choices that we feel like there's no other way out. So like you just said, I think that learning this, doing this work of being able to understand your beliefs, change them, and feel your emotions is the most courageous thing that you can do in the world. And you can hear more about me talking about that. If you can go to my Instagram, Seeking a Great Perhaps One is my Instagram handle. My website's www.justjohnsoncoaching.com. And you can reach out to me via email, justjohnsoncoaching@gmail.com. And really, I work predominantly with other life coaches because there is nothing like being an entrepreneur that brings up all of your stuff. And, but really, I have a passion for helping anybody who wants to understand their emotions better and helping them. So if you have questions, please reach out.
Thank you so much, Jess. This was so good. And I might even split this into two. We'll think about this later. I get to decide whatever I want, and it's no big deal. Mental health, so important. So I just want to reiterate, if you are experiencing debilitating emotions, please get help, ask for help. Don't suffer in silence, right? Like I know I talk about coaching, you know, because that's like what I do. And I've been to, you know, gone to therapists a lot, but sometimes we need more than that, right? And it's okay, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to be okay. Just don't stay alone in it. And that's when we have these like things like suicide and a lot of like harm that can happen. So I really appreciate you saying that, Jess. Like that was so, so good. Thank you so much for coming. She is a veteran and a licensed social worker. And I'm going to put everything in the show notes, but I want to apologize again for the fumble in the beginning, and that's totally fine. And this actually shows how different we are, where I'm like, I'm not going to write anything down, because guess what, guys, this is all part of it, right? Like I want to show you guys who we are, how we are in real time. Like we don't have to be finessed all the time. Like that's the best part. So I love my Froach friend, and she coined the term. So it was not Melissa. Just going to put it out there. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Jess.
Big style.
Hey, if you're ready to advocate for yourself by listening to your inner voice so you can live in freedom, wake up every day with purpose, and enjoy your work and family, check out my website at www.pileguile.com. On the website, you'll have the opportunity to join my program, sign up for a free workshop, or just check out my blog. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please tell a friend, leave a review, or just reach out. I'd love to hear from you.